go to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to continue looking at Galatians this morning. And we're going to begin reading at Galatians 1, verse 10. Here Paul says this. He says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intently I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me, an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Verse 10 again. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? So people, got about 10 years ago, I was invited by my former choir director when I was at Calvin College, Dr. Howard Slank. I was invited to be one of a guest singer in the St. Mark's Episcopal Church Choir, not too very far from here, over on Division Street. Is anybody familiar with St. Mark's? Okay. The choir was going to perform a special concert, and my former choir director asked a few people to come and to join the ranks, to join the different sections of the choir to fill it out some, to give it a little bit more voice. So I joined the soprano section. No, just kidding. I joined the bass section. That was my section in choir, and my voice hasn't changed yet, so it's still down there. I joined the bass section and began to rehearse with the choir as the rehearsals came along. Began to learn the music. Then after a few weeks, it came time for the dress rehearsal. When I came to the dress rehearsal, I saw that everyone was getting their robes on, so I've worn a robe at choir concerts before. I know the drill, so I went and found one that kind of fit. Usually I've got a mini skirt kind of thing going when it comes to choir robes. Got a robe like the ones here in the picture, just like that. After we got our robes, I noticed that many of the choir members were also taking these medallions that were on the hooks. And they were putting them on after they got the choir robe and the stole. They were grabbing a medallion and they were putting that over their head to wear as well. So I thought, oh, I've never worn a medallion before. I might as well do that. So I walked over to where the medallions were hanging and I grabbed one. And as I was about to put it on, someone came over to me. And they said to me, "You can't wear that." And I looked down at them with this confused face, you know, this face. I didn't really say anything, but I just kind of looked with this, you know, "What are you talking about face? Why can't I?" kind of face. I didn't say anything. And they said, "These are special medallions for the chamber choir members only. Only they are allowed to wear medallions, and you are not one of them." Something along those lines. That's a loose translation, but that's kind of how it went. Okay, so I took my medallion off, and I put it back on the hook, and as I did, I began to ruminate. You know what ruminate means? I began to fester inside just a little bit as I'm hanging this medallion back up. Why can't I wear a medallion? This is dumb. I stick out to begin with. Now I'm going to stick out even worse because there's the tall guy without the medallion. Why can't I have one? The choir director, he invited me to come. He thought I could sing somewhat well. Why can't I wear a medallion? Then I remembered something. As I'm talking with my other friends who also are medallionless at this point, what is the deal with the medallions? Why can't we wear medallions? I remembered something. I had run the 5th Third Riverbank Run. The 25th anniversary Riverbank Run, believe it or not. And because I finished the race before they closed the race down, what did I receive? Look it. I received a medal because I hobbled over the finish line and completed the 25K. So what did I tell my friends? I said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear my 5th Third Riverbank Run medal to the concert tomorrow." Right? I wanted to wear a medallion too. Why did I want to wear a medallion so bad? One word. Approval. Approval. I wanted to be approved just like everybody else. I wanted to be approved just like every other choir member in that choir. Approval is something that we crave, don't we? All of us long for it. As kids growing up, we long for the approval of our parents. We long to know that they love us and that they approve of who we are as a person growing up. As friends, we long for the approval of our peers. We long to know that we're part of the group, that we're included, that we're approved of. None of us wants to be ostracized or outside of the circle of trust. If we're married or dating someone, we long for the approval of our spouse or our significant other. If we're employed right now, we long for the approval of our employer. We long to know and to hear that what we are doing, what we are spending our time on each day matters. Right? And that not only that matters, but that it exceeds and meets our employer's approval. And our desire for approval
often shapes our behavior, doesn't it? It shapes what we do and say. A child that longs for his father's approval will clean up his room. He'll do what he's told just to hear dad say, "Well, job well done, son." Or to hear those words, "I love you. I love you." A person that longs for their friends, their peers' approval, they'll change their wardrobe. They'll dress in a totally different way. They'll eat different things. They'll become a vegetarian, or they'll start eating meat. They'll begin to talk in a certain way, like you know what I mean? Like, do you get it? Like, they'll often do whatever needs to be done in order to be approved of. Someone who's dating someone, they'll clean up their apartment. They'll put dirty clothes in the closet. They'll put dirty dishes in the dishwasher and they'll run it. They'll buy someone flowers. They'll take them out to fancy dinners. They'll shave and put deodorant on. They'll use mouthwash. They will all do all kinds of things to win approval, the approval of the other person. Employees will work long hours into the night in order to finish a project on time, in order to win their supervisor's or their employer's approval. They'll forsake family and friends in order to hear that boss say, "Thanks, job well done." And why do we do these things? Why do we change our behaviors, change our vocabulary, change how we look? We do this because so much of what we know and experience about approval is based on what others do and what we do to others. You and I most often give our approval to someone or something based on what they do. Much of the approval we give and receive is earned. It's earned approval. Are there any teachers out there this morning? Teachers, right? Who are the professors that are most approved of on ratemyprofessor.com? They're the ones who have engaging lessons and leading and grading scales, and the ones who bring treats to class. You want to get your ratings boosted on myprofessor.com? You bring fruit snacks. Students love it. Preachers, right? What are the preachers that we approve of? Preachers who can give winsome and theologically astute sermons in 15 minutes or less, please. Right? 15 minutes or less. Mechanics. We approve of mechanics who are honest and upfront about what's wrong, and then who repair the problem the first time, not the third time, but the first time, and hopefully do so as inexpensively as possible. Retail stores. What are the stores that we approve of? The ones that have the things that we want or that we need when we're there. It's in stock and preferably on sale. Drivers. We approve of other drivers who are kind and considerate, and who preferably aren't texting while they're driving next to us. Do you notice this as you're driving along and you're looking over there and there they are texting and you're like, "Oh boy, do I pass? Where do I go? Where do I go? What do I do? What do I do?" We approve of the drivers that let us in when we're waiting to make a turn. You go first. We give approval based on what others do. The danger with this, however, is that we're prone to carry that way of thinking into our Christian faith. Because approval is often something that is earned in our interactions with other people, we believe our approval before God is achieved in the same way. In fact, this is exactly what some people were trying to teach in the churches in Galatia that Paul was writing to. They were teaching that our approval before God comes from Jesus and our ability to keep certain Old Testament laws and rules. We are approved by what God does and by what we do. That was the issue that was at stake. However, Paul in our text for today says to you and me once again that this is not the gospel message that he received from Jesus. This is another gospel. It's a different gospel. It's actually no gospel at all. What it is it's a perversion of the gospel that Jesus revealed to him. The true gospel that Paul received from Jesus is this: our approval, right? Our approval before God does not come through our own efforts. In his letter to the churches of Galatia, Paul uses his own story and biography. That's what this section is all about, who Paul is. He uses his own story and biography to prove this point. Paul writes this to the churches. He says, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." When it came to study, when it came to knowledge, when it came to the practice of his faith, Paul says that he was at the top of the class. He was up there. He's the brainiac. He's the A student, the dean's list. He's up there. He was advancing way beyond his peers. He was even more zealous. He had that going for him too. Zeal. He was eager. Grades and zeal. Boom! Way up there. That's what he's saying. But as he writes this to the churches, he says, "Neither of these things made me any closer to God. Neither of these things made me more approved before God." Advancement in rule keeping does not make us approved. Our zeal does not make us approved, Paul says. Tim Keller, in his comments on these verses, says this. He says, "In regards to keeping and observing the Jewish law, Paul is saying to the churches that I've been there and I've done that. I know all about this subject. You cannot make yourself acceptable to God by the most zealous and detailed following of moral, ethical, or cultural codes. It's not possible." Maybe because Paul was so aware of this by what was revealed to him, he was so in tune with it, when he sees it happening, his flags go up. He says, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't follow in my footsteps. Don't make the mistakes that I made. Don't go down that path. Go this way instead. Don't go down that path. Go this way instead." Our approval, he says, does not come through us, through you and me trying to please God. But rather, he says in verse 15, because God was pleased to reveal his Son to Paul and to you and to me. Our approval does not come through us trying to please God, but rather, Paul says, because God was pleased to reveal himself to us. Why did God choose and call Paul? Was it because of his rule keeping? Was it because of his zeal? Was it because Paul was in some way, in any way, pleasing to God? The answer, Paul says, is no. No, no, no. God called Paul simply because he was pleased to do so. God calls you and me the same way, simply because he's pleased to do so. God calls Paul and he calls you and me not because we are worthy of it, but simply because God takes delight and pleasure in calling you to himself. How are we approved before God? Paul says salvation, approval, is by grace alone, not through moral and religious performance. Our approval before God is not earned. It's received. We do not earn God's approval. We receive God's approval. Keller says this. He says, "Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God.
working powerfully on the mind and the heart to change lives. And there's no clearer example than Paul that salvation is by grace alone, not through our moral and our religious performance. Though Paul's sins were deep, God invited him in. No one is so good that they don't need the grace of the gospel, nor so bad that they can't receive the grace of the gospel. Paul was deeply religious, but he needed the gospel. Paul was deeply flawed, yet he could be reached with the gospel. And what's true for Paul is true for you and me as well. None of us here is so good that we don't need the gospel, and none of us here is so flawed that we can't receive the gospel either. People of God, the Apostle Paul begins this section of his letter with two important questions for you and me this morning. And how we answer these questions makes all the difference in the world, Paul says. It determines which path you're going to take, which road you're going to walk down. And the question is this: am I trying to win the approval of men? Am I trying to win the approval of God? Those are the two questions. And Paul says, without the gospel of Jesus that was revealed to him, we will be trapped trying to do both. We will be trapped trying to win the approval of both God and other people. Paul says to the churches and to you and me, don't fall in. Don't fall into that trap. He says, watch out. Don't make the mistake that I did. Don't try and earn your medal. It won't work. It'll never work. Instead, he says, receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the gospel from Jesus Christ. Receive His approval and His favor. He longs to give it. He longs to give it freely. Paul says, receive it. Receive it. And as you do, allow your life to be shaped by it. Allow your life to be shaped by His approval of you. Allow God's love and favor and approval of you in Jesus Christ to control you. To control who you are. Receive it and allow it to control what you think about yourself and what you think about other people. Allow it to control what you say about yourself and what you say about other people. Allow it to control what you feel. What you feel inside about yourself and what you feel about other people. He says, receive it. Allow that love, allow that grace, allow that approval to shape who you are. Because when you do, he says, a big change is able to happen. A big change is able to happen. Because of the good news of the gospel, because you and I are assured of God's love and approval for us, because God is pleased with us in Jesus Christ, Paul says we are able to obey and to live a life for God, not for ourselves. We're able to make a switch. No longer are we going to be striving to do all these things to earn it. We're going to receive it and allow a life to be shaped by that. We don't have to live for ourselves trying to earn our salvation so that God will save us, but rather we'll receive a life and we'll live a life of gratitude to God who has saved us. A life trying to earn and a life of thanks and gratitude. Paul says they're two different roads. Paul says because of the gospel and grace, gospel of grace, We don't have to be slaves, but we can be servants. We can be a servant of Him who has saved us. Because of the gospel, because of God's approval of us, we are liberated to live in the way that God approves. We do not live in God's way in order to become approved, in order to become His child, but instead we live a life of gratitude because we are approved, because we are His child. Are you trying to win the approval of men? Are you trying to win the approval of God? Would you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, I come before you, having been challenged by your word, to examine that word approval. Examine that word approval. The Apostle Paul this morning asks two questions of us. Are we trying to win the approval of other people? Are we trying to win your approval, the approval of God? Lord, and how we answer those questions makes all the difference in the world. Remind us, Lord, this morning of your approval of us. Remind us this morning of your great love for us. That even though we are not worthy of it, you came and you come. You come to us and say, "You are my child." You come to us and you give us your approval, you give us your grace, you give us your mercy, you give us your forgiveness, you give us eternal life. Lord, if anyone here this morning is trying to win or earn that approval, speak to their heart. Speak to our hearts about that, Lord. Call us away from that, Lord. Call us away from that path. And instead, invite us once again to receive your approval, to receive your grace, and to live a life of gratitude as a result. Lord, invite us once again. We hunger and we long for your approval. Lord, speak to us just about how we get it. Lord, as we continue to sing some songs now and as we spend some time in reflection, speak to our hearts. Speak to us by your Spirit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Bible Bistro kids, if you could stick around 1 second. Oh, they're going to take off. Bible Bistro kids, come back 1 second. Okay, because we're going to spend some time in reflection. I want you to be a part of this a minute too. There's going to be some questions that are going to be up on the screen. So come back just 1 second and write those down. They're all standing there like, "What is he doing? This is not the drill." All of us, I'd like all of us, Bible Bistro kids and adults, there's going to be three questions. They're going to be up on the screen. What Paul's talking about here is important stuff. How we answer these questions shapes the trajectory of the path of our lives, the choices that we make each and every day. So I'd like you, Bible Bistro kids, if you could just write those questions down quick. Then you can get out of here as fast as you want, and you can talk about those upstairs. For us who are a little bit older, worship team is going to begin playing in the background. Just reflect on these three questions. Spend some time before God about this concept of approval and about how we achieve it. And after a little while, we'll sing together. And we'll sing some more after that, too. But spend this time in reflection. Bible Bistro kids, write them down, and then run upstairs. Use this time.